Kicking off hour three here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Tennessee baseball back on the diamond today. Up as high as number seven in the polls. Billy Amick, SEC Player of the Week. Things rolling a little bit. Of course, Tennessee has been winning and run ruling and blowing teams out. But Kansas State on a little bit of a win streak themselves, and they got a guy that's pretty damn good too in Brady Day. Sam, anything to really look for tonight when it comes to Kansas State? Looks to this midweek game. I know in baseball you can't really do too much previewing of these midweek opponents because the games don't really matter. It's more about what Tennessee continues to try to do for their program and their team this year as they're trying to kind of put some pieces together.
Yeah. I mean, you're coming in, you're riding a 10-game win streak, one of the best in the country right now. So I think you're obviously just wanting to keep that going. But yeah, I mean, it's a big opportunity. Obviously, K-State isn't the greatest team in the world, but you're still playing a Power 5 opponent. You're playing some Big 12 baseball now. So, you know, I think it'll be great to kind of be able to get a little bit of a leg up in terms of competition. And I think today you'll have some interesting looks. You know, I think your pitching staff did great this weekend. You didn't really need to see Nate Snead, a couple of guys in your pitching staff. So I think it'll be very interesting to kind of see who Tennessee chooses to trot out as their starter today. I think it'll be interesting to see Snead because, to me, I think this pitching staff is starting to maybe have a little bit of a decision. Is it Causey or maybe Snead that could get that day three role? Or is it a young guy?
Where do you want to go with the day three guy?
Man, after seeing Causey, it's hard for me to not want him. I think given the other guys that you've got as your two starters with Beam and Russell kind of being, you know, a little bit more of that flamethrower type and still having some nasty stuff, but I just like the wild card element of Causey's arm angle and his stuff.
Have we had an update on Russell? I mean, I know like it's not a long-term injury, but is he going to be back on Friday against Illinois, or is that still too early?
I would doubt it. I haven't seen any update, but I would doubt it. To me,
maybe we get another Causey start there on Friday against Illinois.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't be surprised.
Bob, you're gonna be out on the porch with the big wigs. You're gonna be out making your presence known at Lindsey Nelson Stadium today?
Hadn't planned on it. Got some other stuff going on. Game's at 6, so
the weather should be pretty damn good leading up
should
to
be.
It. I mean,
yeah.
So like it should be a really good day at the park.
Yeah.
Great start to baseball season weather-wise. Normally these first couple of weeks are just brutal.
That's a good point. I'm just looking at they're trying to learn a little bit about who they're playing tomorrow evening with the University of Southern Indiana. Holy cow.
I'm sure you'll be looking for a while.
4-7, and their signature wins are against Eastern Michigan. 2 wins against them and 2 wins against the University of St. Thomas. So, yeah, tomorrow would not be the game to go see, I wouldn't think.
Bob, your Dodgers got a former VFL.
Yeah, I saw that.
Andre Lipsius.
Yeah, I did. I saw that. He won't play much, but
no. It's a good consolation prize.
Yeah, it's a good team to go to. Good franchise system, all that stuff. Yeah, and then Illinois 3-game series this weekend. I don't know. They're 5-6. Just really ready for SEC play.
Yeah, I'm excited for that too. It starts next weekend, right? Like Illinois is the last.
Yeah.
Kind of tune-up weekend. Then you're in Alabama in the middle of March. So, like, by the time the SEC tournament is rolling around for basketball, you'll be playing SEC baseball as well.
Right.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
At Alabama?
Yep.
Correct.
Where's Alabama at right now? Are they
let me look.
Are they
the
ranked
SEC
anywhere?
Standards.
They thought – I didn't know where they were projected to finish in the SEC. I know, of course, they rallied pretty strong last year after their gambling manager – quit sabotaging their team, and
they're 11-1. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut.
Oh no, you're fine. 11-1, but yeah, I mean, I don't know like who they would have played in there. Like, I don't know what that means. I just didn't know what they were projected to finish.
Probably the best team they've played so far So they lost to Dallas Baptist, who's actually very good. Their best win is probably against Indiana, who was ranked 21st.
Okay.
Yeah, Bama's 15th in the country. I mean, they're, okay. It'll be a good test to start off, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good road test for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of throwing these guys into the fire when you're looking at these new starters, right? Like the lineup I have confidence in.
Oh, yeah.
The lineup I have confidence in, no matter where they go, I don't think they'll be overwhelmed by the road atmosphere or anything. But the starting pitching, that could be a little bit of a question when you go on the road and make your first starts there.
Yeah, I think the pitching staff is the only question mark of this team. I don't think you should have any worries about what you're getting out of this lineup at any point.
Billy Amick getting SEC Player of the Week. What schools have benefited more from the transfer portal than Tennessee?
In baseball?
No, I'm just meaning in general.
Oh, okay.
I just mean in general because, like, feels like that was something maybe Tennessee fans would be worried about, worst case scenario. And it got off to a bad start, right? Whenever Jeremy Pruitt gets fired, the transfer portal opens up, you lose all those guys to Oklahoma, you lose Henry Tuotuo to Alabama, and you're like, oh my God, the transfer portal, is this going to kill us? But like since then, Tennessee has been like a juggernaut. And like, you know, Dalton Kinect and Billy Amick this season carrying both teams. Cannon Peebles, you know, add him to that list. Like, the baseball team has done that for a while. You know, Jace Dahlander, probably the biggest transfer portal guy we've gotten, right? Is there anybody bigger in baseball up until this year?
Not in terms of, I mean, what they did at the school and then where they go in the MLB draft. I don't think so.
Biggest huge moment from a transfer, though? Think about that. Just moment. Just one time.
I mean, that would be Dalton Kinect, right?
No, I'm talking about baseball. Oh, sorry. Baseball?
Biggest moment from a transfer player? Do you have the answer in your head? Or?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
What's your answer?
Zane Denton.
Okay.
Yeah, against Clemson.
Yeah.
Good call by you.
Just moment, though. Sure. That story is not.
And, I mean, he was a very impactful player, too.
It's I mean, like he led your team last year in terms of, what, was it RBIs he led your team in last year?
He's a great player.
And, yeah, that story might not be completely written, but yeah, I mean, then football, of course, you know, Hendon Hooker, is the face so far of the Josh Heupel era. LSU with Paul Skeens and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, what I was gonna say.
They're up there, of course. But outside of that, like
Haley Van Lith.
Outside of that, like I don't know what schools have benefited more from the transfer portal than Tennessee. Maybe I'm sure there's guys I'm missing around the country, of course, but like.
It is interesting in terms of overall sports impact, yeah.
Was UConn built basketball-wise to the transfer portal last year? Am I remembering that correctly?
I don't want to say.
Okay.
I don't think it was.
Okay. I was going to say, in the tournament, there was a couple of teams and stories where like, hey, these guys are all the transfer portal and like, you know, Arkansas basketball, Elite Eight, transfer portal, built like, completely there.
Cam Spencer's the only guy that comes to mind for me, right?
From UConn last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
He wasn't on there last year. It's
right.
This year.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying last year's
team
that won
that. Well, I was asking about their championship team, yeah. That was just something I think we were all prepared to get kind of screwed on. But instead, it's helped solidify Tennessee as being elite to very, very good in all three of your major sports.
That's our first success in the transfer portal for basketball, isn't it, though, with Kinect? I mean, if you think about it, I'm trying to think back. There was obviously Key who wasn't. EJ Anasicki was a train wreck.
I don't know. Was EJ Anasicki even considered a transfer portal guy? I think he was before the term portal, right? He was just a transfer guy.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if you're going back just to transfers in basketball, like J.P. Prince was a big impact guy coming from Arizona.
Forgot about J.P., yeah.
But I'm looking at just like the transfer, quote-unquote, portal era where – it's kind of a free-for-all, like free agency.
Yeah, it is.
But, yeah, like J.P. Prince was a big impact player transfer.
And Tyler Smith.
Yeah, and Tyler Smith, both those guys.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like but Barnes had struggled with getting transfers in here that were actually making impacts. And Dalton Kinect, you know, I think changes that. You know, I think Dalton Kinect is, I don't want to say the new age Kevin Durant, because that's Kevin Durant's still relevant. But I mean, like, Rick Barnes hadn't had a player like Kevin Durant in a long time. you weren't going to be a scorer if you came to Tennessee. You're going to be a defensive guy, and you're going to grind it out. You're going to play the right way, and you're going to do this and that. I think now, of course, like when you see Dalton Knecht, to bring this full circle, on Scott Van Pelt to start, you know, the week of college basketball coverage, and how he goes from, you know, Northern Colorado and a 12-20 team to all of a sudden being, is he the face of men's college basketball this year? Because, I mean, Edie, of course, probably going to win National Player of the Year, but, like, I don't see Edie ever really getting interviewed outside of, like, their games. Like, has he been on Van Pelt? Like, people almost don't even really like Edie. And, like, his game's not emulatable. I don't know if that's a word or not, but emulatable. I don't know if that's I don't know, like, you can't be 7'4" unless you're just born that way. You can be Dalton Knecht and be a 6'3 to 6'5 player and kind of learn how to play. I know Knecht kept growing, but like you can do these things. It's more attainable. I almost feel like he's the face of college basketball this year. And I know we're a little biased, of course, being here in Knoxville. But like I said, Scott Van Pelt kicking off the biggest week of college basketball, because every week from here on out is going to be the biggest week of college basketball. Kicking it off his covers with Dalton Knecht, that's a pretty big statement. So if I'm in the transfer portal, I'm looking and saying, hey, Tennessee, this Rick Barnes guy, he's got it figured out. He coached Kevin Durant and he coached Dalton Knecht.
We didn't talk about this yesterday, and I forgot to bring it up, but you just reminded me on the topic of Knecht. We think the National Player of the Year conversation's over, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
I think after this weekend, again, I'll take the win in the game, and Knecht made his contribution, but I think that it was going to be a long shot to begin with. I just don't see that. It doesn't seem feasible at this point.
No, I think that you will settle for just being a first-team All-American and
it's a hell of an honor, right?
A lottery pick and those things. Like, but yeah, I don't. Unless Knecht just goes nuclear and scores 40 points at South Carolina to win the SEC and then follows it up with 40 points against Kentucky, like maybe that would be enough to get him back in the conversation. But last I checked, he was tied with R.J. Davis at 20-1 odds to catch Edie, so it's probably not going to happen. Emulatable, a word, though. Good job by me.
That's good.
Good job by me, a word.
And then back to baseball, this is a good sign, too, that Alabama series – the Saturday-Sunday games both on SEC Network, so we don't have to go, you know, scouring through ESPN Plus and all that stuff to find them.
What's on that? Say that one more time, sorry.
The Saturday-Sunday games for Tennessee-Alabama baseball.
Oh, okay. Baseball, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, not this weekend, surely. But
no,
yeah.
No.
Okay.
No. Friday night games on SEC Network Plus, but that's been my biggest frustration is just, we've talked about that, trying to get through ESPN Plus to find some of these games sometimes drives me nuts.
Yeah, it keeps me from watching Tennessee baseball.
Yeah, I mean,
my TV
right.
Simply will not activate it. But, like, my phone will. So I'll watch a little bit on my phone, but I don't like sitting there and holding my phone and watching a game. Like, it completely zaps me. I appreciate having the option to pull it up, but, like, it's just too much.
I saw a great tweet that said, is there a subscription service of ESPN Plus that I can subscribe to make sure that I actually get my ESPN Plus subscription?
That's how I feel. Like, on my TV every time, and I don't know if it's because it's linked to my Spectrum, but, like, I don't understand why that would be, why that plays into the equation, because I pay for SEC Network, obviously. It's included in the basic package, and I pay for ESPN Plus. Why the hell, when I go on my ESPN Plus account, can I not watch it on my TV? It says not authorized. Every damn time it says not authorized. Why am I not authorized? I log out, I log back in. Doesn't matter. Not authorized.
I think I told you I was looking for an article I wanted to read more about last week, and it said, log in. I logged in. They said, welcome, you know, continue reading. And then you go to open it, and then it takes you through down the same rabbit hole, basically.
It's ridiculous.
Makes you go back and log in again. You just give up. It's not good. It's a bad user experience from that perspective, and you would expect better from them for A, the reason, you know, the amount that they charge you, and B, they have all of this. They have all this content, so kind of hold you hostage. Not good. Don't like it.
So, yes, I would like to watch us play Kansas State today, but I'm already mad thinking about me not being authorized. Either way.
Yeah. Yeah.
We expect Tennessee to win today, of course. Kansas State, are they a top team? Are they a tournament team? I guess I'm putting you on the spot there, Sam, but do we know anything about them?
I'm not going to act like I'm well-versed in Kansas State baseball knowledge. But
sorry to put you on the spot.
No, you're good. I mean, I don't think that they're going to be a threat for us to lose tonight. I honestly think that it's a pretty easy spot for us.
Jordan writes in saying Kansas State is throwing the race today, though.
Really?
Yeah. Kansas State is viewing this as a RPI game.
Right. I wouldn't doubt that at all.
So you're going up against Kansas State's ace, and you are, you know, going up against a Big 12 player of the week, a guy that's dangerous in the lineup. And so, like, at least with that, it's going to feel like a real baseball game. It's going to feel like one that, like, you could be proud of winning. Now, I don't know who Kansas State's ace is and, like, you know, what kind of stuff he's got. I don't know if he is a draft prospect or whatever, but it's going to be a huge upgrade from what you've been playing so far this year, especially since the first weekend in Texas. Okay. Let's see what I can find about Kansas State's ace during the break.
Yeah. Owen Barema, lefty.
Okay.
So you'll get some nice little run against a lefty.
Hearing that they're throwing a lefty makes me a little nervous. Now, that's just from the past. I mean, like, you know,
got a lot of lefty arms in our bullpen as well, so I think you see that a decent bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's just from the past. This team hasn't proven that they struggle with lefties or anything yet, so, like, maybe I shouldn't care about that. Do you have his stats at all?
I don't know. KansasStateSports.com is stalling me out.
Okay.
I'm looking right now. Here we go.
Don't love that he's a lefty, but I think that's just because I'm picturing a big lefty that can, like, overpower a lot of us. I think of, like, lefties in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. He's 2-2.
Yeah, Chris Hill.
So far, 2-2.
Okay.
He's a big boy, 6'5", 225. Yeah. He'll have some good size, yeah.
But
slider coming across.
He pitched against Cal and Arizona State, had losses against both of those, and then wins against Holy Cross and University of Mass at Lowell.
Do you have, like, his innings pitched and everything?
Yeah.
Well, what did he do in those two power matchups?
3 innings pitched against Cal, struck out 4, gave up 2 runs. Against Arizona State, 4 2/3 innings, gave up 4 earned runs, 4 walks, struck out 9, though. So he's got some stuff, apparently. But his ERA has come down to 4.7. He got hit up pretty hard the first couple games.
Okay. But still maybe has some good stuff and a big lefty, guys. You know, it's a game worth paying attention to, which is nice. I'll take that for my midweek baseball.
Hey, this is against Holy Cross, but he had 11 strikeouts in 5 2/3 innings against them. So, I mean, that's 11 out of 17 outs were strikeouts. So
it's a game to get authorized for, to try to get authorized for.
I'll watch a little bit on my phone before I get mad.
Take your phone across.
I'm already mad thinking about it. Let's go to break. It's the morning show on ESPN, on Fan Run Radio. Everybody. Let's head to the phone lines. 865-546-8200. Roberto wants to weigh in. Roberto, the floor is yours. Hope you're well.
Hey, John. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Bob.
Good morning.
Sam, you guys, man, you're becoming part of my morning routine. You guys are nailing it. This is where it's at in the mornings.
Thank you, Roberto. Right,
appreciate that.
So, things you need to know about Kansas State. I guess you guys picked up. I love Tennessee baseball. Always loved it since I was a kid. The heyday of them, Todd Helton and all that, I was like 14, right? So this is like what I love talking about, and I get giddy this time of year. Kalen Culpepper is the name you need to remember, and I'm pretty sure that the reason this game was scheduled is to get him back to Tennessee. Did you know Kalen Culpepper is from Memphis, their best player?
I did not know that.
Manhattan, Kansas is 9.5 hours from where he played high school ball, and Tennessee is only 5.5 hours, give or take, with traffic. I'm just saying. Kalen Culpepper played at St. Benedict's at Armondale in Cordova. And I had the opportunity, I think it was his junior year, to see him play. That guy is a total freak show. He was the number two rated shortstop in the state of Tennessee. And he was a top 20 high school baseball player in Tennessee. That tells you everything you need to know. Tennessee high school baseball is legit. It's maybe behind Georgia and Florida and California. Tennessee's in the top four or five in the whole country to play baseball.
What positions does Scott play? I see they say he's an infielder. Is he a second baseman?
He's a shortstop.
Okay.
And last time I checked, we don't have one of those that's a senior yet.
No, we got two pretty good young ones, though.
No, very good. Very good. But competition breeds competition, right? And Christian Moore's going to end up in the pros next year. So we may be moving one of those shortstops to second, so, and so on and so forth.
So, Roberto, if you're looking at Culpepper, and we were talking about Brady Day, because you definitely study this stuff. Who would you say is the guy for K-State?
Culpepper. He played for Team USA last year. you said Brady Day. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you broke up there.
Yeah. Because we.
Yeah, no, I think it's Culpepper. I've looked at him a lot more just because he's from Tennessee. And I always track this Tennessee kid because it matters to me. It matters to me that Tennessee high school baseball is considered legit. We're sitting on a Cy Young Award winner right here in Knoxville, guys. People don't ever put that together. You know, I mean, people say it, but they don't really think about that, how big a deal that is. And we just got a guy in the freaking Hall of Fame, and there's only two of those in SEC history. It's a big deal for our town. Knoxville's a super underrated high school baseball town. Super underrated. And I think Tony's exposing that in a good way. But I think Culpepper may have been a swing and a miss. Because I don't even know if we called him. But he will be... Here's a hot take. He will be the best player we've played against this year.
The best player that we've played against so far, or for the entire season?
This year, so far. Sorry, John. So far this year.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not Caglione owned.
What I was going to say. Okay.
No. He's not that. But I mean, he is a solid. He's going to be drafted type player at some point, and I don't think he's draftable yet. You'd have 1 year. But, I mean, he was all Big Ten, all freshman, all American last year. I think he was hit 10 homers, 40-some RBIs.
Well, he's a junior
like
right now.
50-something.
Yeah, he's a junior right now. He's all
is
freshman.
Is he officially a junior?
Yeah, he was all freshman 2 years ago.
Okay. Well, then my mind's drawing a blank. But, I mean, I've known about him forever because I saw him play in high school, and I was like, wow, that kid can really play. So, I am fuzzy. You'll have to give me that.
The years start running together. I get it. I was just helping you out there.
Well, then he's probably going to get drafted. But if he's not, I love what Tony does with these midweek games. I mean, clearly we've targeted players from other schools to have them come in and see our stadium in all its glory now and only getting better and watch our fans get behind the team. And, you know, it does feel weird, guys, and I want to ask more than tell. Is it weird that this isn't the weekend series and we played Bowling Green?
If you're Kansas State, you probably don't want to have a weekend series in Knoxville, if I'm guessing. Although, who knows, they're throwing their ace tonight. Maybe they want to have a chance to beat Tennessee. If you play them three times, is going 1-2, Sam, is that carry enough weight to actually matter for your RPI? Or is it better to take your one chance and one swing at the bat, if you will, to go 1-0 against them? I don't know.
I would say
you were talking to Sam.
Yeah.
I would say you're saying that it's better. Are you saying
I'm asking
better
if,
to
if
go...
it's better to play them one time and have one chance to beat Tennessee, or come here and play a weekend series and hope to go 1-2?
I mean, yeah, I think probably the weekend series, maybe if you look good in the other two. But you know, okay. I mean, I think it's definitely kind of a what if in that sense.
It's going to raise your RPI to lose to Tennessee more than it's going to lower your it'll probably lower your RPI playing a team like, I wouldn't say Bowling Green. By the way, John, yesterday, respectfully, you said they suck. They don't suck. We just kicked their ass.
Fair enough.
They don't suck. They have some arms, and they got some guys that can really hit the baseball. But playing like an Albany for them, that's going to lower their RPI versus coming to Tennessee and playing three games. So that's what was strange to me. But I love, like I said, I love using these weekend series and I to Dolander kids, you know. And if it doesn't work out with Culpepper, then so be it. But Newman needs to be here next year in the right color orange. He's a fantastic baseball player, and so on and so forth. I didn't mean to get lost in the woods too much, guys. But yeah, this team we're playing, this Kansas State team, they're no slouch. They do not suck. They're not great, but they do not suck. And if they're throwing their ace and they have a guy that can hit the ball at the ballpark anytime he steps in the lineup, you better bring it tonight. So have we announced our starter? I haven't seen any of that. You guys know?
Typically, Tony has been doing it basically at like 10:05. So like right when we go off the air, he kind of puts
like,
out.
You get out there. Yeah. Make sure you don't get to break it. He's got a vendetta.
Yeah. I don't think Tony's out to get us. That's just the way it's worked out. And yeah, I see the tweet basically, I think, from Ben McKee at 10:05 on game day. Yeah. So stay tuned for the next 30 minutes or so.
I'm interested to see who our starter is. So, guys, have a great day. I think it's super cool that Dalton Connect was on TV. That just shows you how far Tennessee is. And I'm going to ask this. As an athletic department on the whole, is Tennessee the it program in college athletics right now? Take care, guys.
Appreciate the phone call, Roberto. I mean, I think Danny White himself, you know, has tried to lead the push of Tennessee being, of Knoxville being the college sports town in the country. I don't know who's got it better.
I still say it. I keep using that term. Maybe it's a little hyperbolic, but golden age of University of Tennessee sports right now. And somebody, I posted that on X at one point, and somebody said, well, when we win a national title, come ask me again. It's like, of course, we get it. But, I mean, things are riding high right now. Again, in the here and now, it's pretty damn good place to be. The other thing too, ESPN's power rankings. We're actually getting love from ESPN for basketball. We were team of the week.
I think you have to be when you beat two top, 12 metric teams and two top 15 AP poll teams. Like, I think you have to bend the knee to Tennessee in that regard.
Hasn't stopped them before, but I agree. I mean, it's like it's good to see, man. It's good to see. This is it's definitely a good time to be a Vols fan.
Well, I think it ties into the overarching conversation of the day when you talk about the respect you're given. It's one thing to win those games and win them in ugly fashion. It's another thing to win them and have, like, brilliant offensive play individually and clutch down the stretch against Alabama. It's easier to believe in this Tennessee team as legit when you look at what they've done and you look at the pieces on this team. It's not ugly. It's not dragging you down in the mud. It's not surviving and like winning in spite of your offense. It's you got a really good player who is the face of college basketball on the men's side this year, an All-American, a guy that's going to be in the mix for, you know, the first college player taken in the draft. I don't think that happens, but he's in the mix. It's easier to buy this Tennessee team. I don't know. Like, you know, I'll do respect to Roberto. I don't know why the hell he thinks Bowling Green's good, by the way, baseball. 20-30 last year. They're 2-7 this year. I don't know whether they're any good. They might have a couple of decent players that you want to poach or whatever, but they do suck. I'm not backing off the take. Bowling Green baseball sucks.
I think the thing I was intrigued by was if you're K-State, why wouldn't you want to play a weekend series here? You could go 1-2. You could get swept. There's more eyes on your program than one of these midweek games. You know, that's the other thing. There's more interest in college baseball. I don't find college baseball to be like college basketball, where last night Sam and I were talking about, did you watch Duke, North Carolina State? Yeah, of course, you know. But at midweek baseball, I don't find myself watching it, unless it's Tennessee. Other than that, I'm not watching some random game in college baseball, whereas on a weekend you might be more inclined to do it.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Kansas State's decision or Tennessee's decision.
Right.
Like, you know, Tennessee has Illinois coming in. I don't know if there's a player on that team they're trying to recruit or scout or whatever, but yeah, I don't know what goes into Tony making these schedules. It seems like he wants it to be pretty light. Seems like he wants to do, like, when Tony puts the schedule together, it looks like Vitello wants to play in Texas, play in a big league ballpark the first weekend, play against some good teams there, come back home, get your feet wet just by beating up on really bad teams. Get maybe one Power 5 weekend series and then get to SEC play. Like, it seems like that's the formula. So, like, would we have been better off playing Kansas State this weekend instead of Illinois? I don't know. But, like, they're similar.
With how strong the SEC is in baseball, there's no need to kill yourself in the non-conference.
Right. Right. And it's like we're not even, like, really early on playing even, in like, good non-conference teams. Teams that can even beat you. Like, Bowling Green was picked to finish ninth in the MAC. They suck. And, like, you know, like, last year weren't very good. And then, of course, we know Albany is terrible. We played them a couple years ago. They're terrible. Or, no, we didn't play them a couple years ago. But they're like the Iona team. That's what they got compared to. A team we did play a couple years ago. Anyways, any other baseball thoughts? Sam?
Not a ton. You know, I mean, like kind of Roberto said at the end of that, I'll be interested to see who's your starting pitcher. You know, I think you'll continue to see that rotation shuffle. And you know, I think this batting order will probably see some new things as well. I mean, probably in the next couple games, you're going to try and see Vitello maybe get a little bit more continuity with that lineup as you enter towards SEC play. But I'm sure you'll still see some tinkering with everything.
Blake Burke going to be in the two-hole today, you think?
Maybe. Interesting. Yeah, I like him in, like, the six, honestly. I like when Blake Burke's a little bit further down in the lineup, but he's been playing well recently, so maybe keep him at the two.
Right. That's what I was wondering. Like,
six homers away from the program record.
Really? Wow. Seems like it came pretty quickly, but I guess when you start hitting bombs as a freshman and just kind of keep hitting bombs, and I guess it adds up pretty quickly.
Yep.
Bob, any other thoughts on baseball?
No, only that our guy Kirby last week, we forgot to talk about that. He had an inning and two-thirds stint.
He's been working a little bit more than he's used to.
I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm too old for this. My arm hurts.
I want to be in for eight pitches, right?
They're just getting him out of the way before SEC play.
Yeah.
Here you go, Kirby. Here's a couple innings for you.
Yep.
Thanks for your contributions. Let's go to break. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio. Inward Half has elevated and transformed performance-driven apparel into fashion-forward statement pieces for the entire family. The new Spring 24 line is live, inwardhalf.com. They got something for everyone in the entire family. They got kids' wear, something for the missus, something for the mister, your teenagers that are getting into golf. Experience the comfort of their signature polos, outerwear, and other accessories. They're all cleverly designed to keep you in the swing of everyday life. Great-looking shirts, great-looking hoodies, comfortable, good quality. InwardHalf.com. You can check them out today. And if you're in your favorite pro shop, look for them there. It's a good chance they're going to be there as well. InwardHalf.com. I know we always throw around that phrase, like, the it city in college athletics, but like I really don't even know who's even in the mix with Tennessee. Is there anybody that stands out, Bob, in terms of just being a contender? Because when you look at just like national champions of in sports, because like if you're just like, hey, you got to win a championship to solidify yourself as an elite program, like, okay, that's fine, but the teams that have won championships recently, they suck at all the other sports. Like Michigan football, good job. You won a national championship. You suck at basketball. I don't know how you are at baseball. I know you're in the tournament a couple of years ago or whatever, maybe last year, but you suck at basketball. Georgia football, congratulations. Great job. National champions. You suck at everything. I know they're not terrible at baseball, but you get the picture.
The only one that's coming to mind, I have to give it more of a think, but Alabama's pretty well situated right now, basketball, baseball, football.
Yeah, I mean, the baseball program being in the top 15 this year, yeah, it feels good. But if you had a member of your organization get fired and suspended and kicked out of the of the sport for 10 years, you're kind of disqualified.
Now, I heard that. I heard that.
Well, someone's at the door now. I was trying to point to you. I don't know who it is. Yeah, see who it is. I don't know if they need something, but they're just kind of looking at me through the window, and I'm on the air. I don't know who it is.
See, I didn't hear it at all.
I didn't hear it. I just saw it. So, yeah. But Alabama, okay. Like, Alabama probably deserves to be in the mix if their baseball program is going to be in the top 15 this year. Now, I'll say like that, they need a little bit more of a consistent run, the baseball program.
Yeah.
Again, they were mired in controversy last year. They haven't been championship-level good. Tennessee has been. Like, Alabama, have they even made a super regional in baseball recently?
My athletic department that came to mind would be LSU.
LSU?
Yeah.
If you throw women's basketball in instead of men's basketball, especially? Because the men's basketball program has been
not that great,
a train wreck the last couple of years.
Football and baseball.
Football and baseball are both good. Baseball, of course, leading the way there. And they're title favorites again this year. So if they go back-to-back, you know, that gives them a leg up. But the basketball program, the men's basketball program, they're NIT bound probably this year, which is a step forward from last year.
Arizona, Texas? Is Arizona any good in baseball?
I don't think so.
Because, I mean, they've obviously resurgent in football, good in basketball.
That's also an athletic department that's like $300 million in the hole too, though.
True.
Yeah, and you also can't like get your coach poached by like a conference rival to be – a healthy athletic program. I'm not saying your coach can't ever get poached because it happens and there's always kind of going to be a bigger fish or at least like somebody's going to have a tie somewhere or whatever. But like to have them go to Washington, that makes Arizona feel pretty small. Like, is there anybody in conference that could hire Josh Heupel away at this point? If you said Oklahoma, there's a caveat there, of course, of him being a player there and whatever, but I still don't think they could even hire him away at this point.
Oklahoma was one I thought of. I don't know how they are in baseball, but they're, again, not to the level of Tennessee, though. But, I mean, you know, obviously good in football, competitive in basketball. Women's softball, they're like repeat champions.
They did finally lose, though, right, Sam? They lost their 70-game win streak or whatever?
They did.
Who beat them?
Shoot.
Because I saw them
Louisiana something. I don't know if it's Tech or Lafayette.
I saw them struggle like on Saturday too. They went into extras.
That's the game they lost. They lost in extras.
Well, they won in extras too, I believe.
Okay, so
are you sure they lost
in extras?
Are you sure they lost?
Oh, I'm positive they lost.
Okay, well, I want to say they went into extras like either Friday or Saturday as well. But yeah, if you take softball into account with them, like, and you know, weigh that on par with baseball, then Oklahoma's good. Although, like, their basketball program's not up to par. Their football program isn't anything special at this point. But, like, I mean, I think Tennessee, again, try not to be biased, but we're postseason good right now in four of the five sports that people care about.
The only two programs that came to mind for me were, like, LSU and Texas, maybe.
Okay.
I feel like Texas is somewhat comparable.
Yeah, I don't. Good where's their football. Baseball team ranked?
They're ranked
top 10, top 15.
No, they're 24 right now.
Okay, football, of course, playoff team.
Speaking of Texas, gonna digress for a second. You guys know I like to do this. I was thinking about this last night as I watched a little bit of Texas and Baylor basketball. Their coach Rodney Terry got a doppelganger.
Gus Fring,
yes. There you go. See, you see it.
I see it. And, you know, you called Missouri's coach. You called him Webster. And I see that, too, whenever we watched
the drive
Missouri play.
They called him Coach Webster yesterday. It's stuck with him. I like that. That's a good game every once in a while. But it's got to link up. But I'm glad you saw it because that means I'm on to something there.
For a second, it looked like Texas was going to beat Baylor last night. But Baylor with the –
yeah,
a pretty dominant second half put the end to that.
I can't watch games at Baylor's new stadium. Pisses me off. That camera angle drives me nuts.
How did they end up with that?
I don't know. You got like the nicest new stadium in the country, and you got the worst camera angle.
Is there a way to fix it? Is the arena just 1 year old? Is this the first year?
Yeah,
of the arena?
Just opened it this season.
They say it's as beautiful. A facility, it's amazing. Yeah, it's beautiful. But yeah, I kind of agree. It's a weird.
You're looking like over the top of the basket. I don't know. It's just so feels like I'm watching a game from like the top row at Neyland Stadium.
Or 2K cam.
Yeah. You don't want to watch. I'm watching 2K.
You don't want to watch 2K cam, especially when it doesn't swing around when the possessions change. Yeah. But yeah, like. So it's been only open for a year at this point. Like maybe they can go in and fix it in the offseason, because I'm sure they've gotten complaints every time they play on TV.
I would think. Seems like a pretty national thing that people are like, "What is this camera angle?"
We'll wrap up the show on the other side with some things to look forward to the rest of the day. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio. In the SEC tonight, a game that could have had huge implications for Tennessee. Still somewhat important, but not really anywhere near as much of a factor, of course. Alabama goes on the road to Florida. Tennessee needs to root for Florida, I think, just because, it removes Alabama from catching you and splitting the title with you. And B, like, I know that I said Seth Davis said those teams right there on the cut line, they don't really care if they move in or out of quad one. They kind of count them the same. But it's still nice seeing Florida be in the top 30 and give us one more quad one win when I'm looking at these resumes and arguing with people online about Tennessee and how they should be a one seed.
I agree with all that. I also say let's get Alabama to out of the double bye range too. That could still happen.
Is that still on the table for them?
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on what happens with Kentucky and South Carolina.
So the double byes right now, of course, Tennessee, they have locked up a double bye, correct? Yeah. Tennessee has locked up at least a double bye. But that's it in terms of things being solidified, right? Because South Carolina and Alabama have four losses. Auburn, Kentucky have five losses. Florida even with six. So if Florida wins out, and South Carolina loses out and Alabama loses out, there'd be some tiebreakers there. And
I'd say Florida feels like a long shot, even if they won out, but for the double bye. But they're in it mathematically. I'd love to see Alabama have to play more games.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If Florida beats Alabama, I guess Kentucky also beat Alabama. I'm just looking at, like, potential tiebreakers because, like, Florida would get to 12-6 and South Carolina would be at 12-6, and Kentucky, if they lost to Tennessee, would be at 12-6. So there's still some room to shake out there. I didn't realize that two of the teams we just beat, the ones that we are celebrating beating that have been, like, in the top 10 of the net ranking and KenPom and that we've been competing for an SEC championship with, did you realize Auburn only had one quad one win?
I did. I just noticed it, though, when we were getting ready to – I was doing prep to talk to Jerry Palm yesterday. I noticed that. It's surprising. Yeah, like 1-8 or something in quad one games, wasn't it?
It says 1-7. So 1-4-8. Yeah, they had eight opportunities, only won one of them.
Yeah.
And Alabama's only got three. They're 3-8 against quad one teams.
Yeah.
Like, both those teams that have been – we thought of, and we have considered them top 10 teams. When it comes time to actually, like, seed them in the tournament – there's a chance that they, five or six seeds. Anywhere from four to six, I'd say, is pretty possible for both of those teams.
When I was trying to give as much respect as possible to Alabama before we started playing them, I kept saying Alabama has taken on all comers, to their credit. Tough schedule, et cetera. But the fact of the matter is, for the most part, they haven't won those games. Now you've factored Tennessee into those, too. I agree. That it does make me wonder. I mean, we saw for a while they had Alabama at a three seed. I don't see any way that happens at this point.
And Tennessee was dealing with a little bit of that early in the season. Now they've gotten on a roll and they're starting to rack up some quad one wins. But, yeah, like, it's nice to play tough teams, but eventually you got to beat a couple of them.
Exactly.
And, you know, Tennessee went 0-3, you know, in Maui / North Carolina against quality teams, and that hurt. But now you're looking and you're 6-5. You've won more than you've lost. I think we all think we're going to win two more, at least one more. So, you know, you come out with 7 or 8 or maybe even 9, depending where Florida ends up, and you look and say, that's a great season. Job well done. You scheduled tough. You won. Alabama, on the other hand, 3-8. Auburn, 1-7. Those teams really haven't beaten anybody all year. Those teams are both going to be, you know, popular picks to get to the tournament and not be tested or have any positive reinforcement. They've been tested, but just not having been on the right side of any of those and maybe get bounced early.
I honestly think Florida can make a deeper run in the NCAA tournament than Alabama.
Unless the team throws a zone at them.
Well, yeah. Yeah, we've seen them melt down now a couple times in a row.
If you throw out a 1-3-1 against them, Florida's going to pee all down their leg, which is something I'm actually interested in watching tonight. It doesn't matter as much, of course. Like I said, Tennessee beat Alabama. Tennessee controls its own destiny. You are no longer beholden to the result in the O-Dome. Although I do want Alabama to lose just so we take them out of the equation of splitting the title. But I want to watch that Florida team and just see how they match up and see how Alabama responds. Hell, this might be Alabama's best win of the season if they get it. Which is kind of crazy to say, but it might be true. Florida, slight 1.5-point favorites. Mississippi at Georgia, Auburn at Missouri, no real implications there. Missouri, of course, trying to get their first SEC win. That would be a detrimental loss to Auburn, so at least something to root for at 9 o'clock, I guess.
That's the only interest I have is I'm, for some reason, rooting for Missouri not to go winless in conference. Don't know why I care, but.
Because you got a heart.
Yeah, and I like Coach Webster.
Yeah, you got a heart. You see that coach, and you think back to that cute little boy on that show. All right, good show by you guys today. We'll talk to Grant Williams tomorrow. The G.I. Jake show is off today. There's no G.I. Jake show as we continue the next part of the process of moving studios. So we're going to have some people in here working and getting things situated. So no G.I. Jake show today. Enjoy the rest of your morning. The drive should be back at 3 o'clock. All systems go there for the drive at 3. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.